Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 657, MCC Infected, recorded live on November 23rd, 2018. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your guest co-host, Grumpy. I mean, Godzilla T.
And we have another week of news and some exciting results from this past week's last Halo 5 HCS tourney that we're going to have. And some other little news bits to cover as well. But, yeah. GT and Mr. Grumpy, thank you for joining tonight.
Wah, humbug.
Hey, it's about right time for that season anyways. If you want to meet up with the Grinch later?
Yeah, he's coming over after game night.
Okay, okay, gotcha. That's all good. We have a little bit of housekeeping to do as normal. So doing a quick recap on streams, just for everyone's note here that's here in the live stream. We are doing the podcast on Friday because yesterday was Thanksgiving for those of us in the States. So hopefully for those of us here, you got to spend some time with family and loved ones, and you got to have food come us from too much food.
Yeah, I'm kind of still working off last night's dinner.
So how did the last week's game night go, GT?
We had a lot of fun. We played some MCC, and good. We just tore it up. Spent most of the night in big team. Of course, with the limited number of custom games that I have, it gets old pretty quick. So
that file share cannot come soon enough.
Yeah, I really wish they had a better way, that they had designed a better way to look at custom maps for the MCC.
Yeah, it's something that they're still supposed to be working on.
Yeah. I mean, the custom games browser, okay, that's fine, but give me a file browser.
Yeah. Something like that. I think
even better, give me a web-based file browser so I can use my keyboard to look for stuff. But no, all in all, we had a lot of fun.
Good.
Looking forward to playing some Halo 5 tonight.
Very nice. I think it's going to be a lot of fun time coming with some of the updates that we'll be covering. So stay tuned for some of that. As for my achievement streams, I ended up not doing it because of the HCS stuff happening this past weekend. And I was just exhausted on Sunday and I didn't feel like streaming. No achievement stream this past Sunday, but I did stream with the wife on Tuesday, and we booted up some Halo 2 on MCC, went on to Headlong, and taught her some of the mechanics. So taught her how to splatter me, how to snipe, and just kind of working on some of the game mechanics and some other movement skills to get her prepped for going into the Halo 2 campaign. It was a pretty good 2-hour session. I think we might do one more before we actually jump into campaign. So we'll be doing a couple more things. We didn't get to dual wielding yet, and some of the other weapons and vehicles, like the Banshee, since there weren't any flying vehicles in the Halo 1 campaign, other than the couple points where she had to use the Banshee. Other than that, she didn't really use that. But got her to drive and learn how to track with the rockets and the snipe, so she's picking it up a little bit. Yeah. She's a trooper. She's put up with a lot. We'll be doing that on Tuesday, and then I should be doing another stream on Sunday. I am actually almost done with the Master Chief Saga playlist. I'm trying to get that one done because of something else that we'll talk about here in a little bit as well. So lots to talk about. Let's go ahead and jump on into some news for this past week. We had quite a bit of stuff happening with HCS DreamHack Atlanta. Of course, this was the final event for Halo 5 in the HCS scene. Doesn't mean there won't be other Halo 5 tournaments in the future from other tournament organizers. But as far as HCS officially hosting an event, this was the last Halo 5 one. Did you get a chance to watch any of the weekend's games, GT?
No, I did not. I had to work the weekend, and then Sunday I was busy doing stuff around the house. We had some relatively warm weather, and so I was taking advantage of it.
That's always a benefit, especially with this season coming up. Very nice. Did you ever get the one truck you were working on fixed up for the winter heat?
No.
No?
Unfortunately, ran out of funds. It now decorates the driveway instead of the garage, though. So I did make progress.
Okay.
Yeah, this is tag month for me, so that pretty much ate up all my extra cash.
I'm not sure what that means, tag month.
License plates.
Oh, okay.
In our state, the month you renew your license is determined by your last name, unlike some other states where it's determined by the month you purchase the vehicle.
That is weird.
But so I got to tag three vehicles this month, and it can be a pain, but at least I only have to do it once a year.
That's quite peculiar.
And we don't have like the option of buying 5-year tags or anything like that.
Are they yearly or?
Yep. Every year.
Oh, that really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
Gotta love bureaucracy. Oh.
That sucks. Sorry to hear that.
It wouldn't have been so bad. Unfortunately, I had to go into the DMV this time. Well, at least I thought I did, but it turns out I didn't. We've had a plate design change since I tagged the truck that I've been working on the last time, and I thought that it was required that I had that plate, but apparently it's not. I went in there for nothing. It's always nice.
Do they not have an online website for you to just renew your stuff online?
Well, yeah, they do. And normally I would do that, but like I said, I thought I needed to get a new plate. And in order to get a new plate, you have to go to the DMV to get a new plate.
Gotcha.
But turns out I didn't need to do that, so I wasted my time. Yay!
That sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more about the saga with the truck at some point. So keep us updated.
It's on the downhill side. I've only got a couple things to do before it's actually drivable. But, you know, I just have to come up with cash to do it.
I hear you. So going into the HCS stuff, we have our final results. So it's no surprise that Tox ended up taking the championship title of Halo 5 Guardians as for the last tournament. Kind of makes sense as they were one of the first ones. I think they were the first champion for Halo 5. So it kind of makes sense that they were the ones to end up on top with it. So congrats to Tox for taking that trophy home. It was kind of interesting because Splice got fourth. They got sent into the elimination bracket really early. And then they were taken out by Renegades. It was a big change of events for HCS this time around. It's usually been, ever since Splice took home a championship, it's always been Tox and Splice in the grand finals. And we saw a different team up in the grand finals spot this time around. So that was a very entertaining weekend, to say the least.
Well, you know, it's the teams have been slowly getting better. So, and Tox just wasn't on their game, I guess. Or not Tox, but Spliced.
So I've been listening to the HCS Pro Talk folks, and it seems like Splice actually wasn't practicing at all. And it sounded like from what Clutch was saying during the stream on Sunday, Splice wasn't practicing Halo. So they just kind of picked it up cold turkey going into it. And I mean, that's just kind of evidence. If you don't practice, you kind of lose your touch with it.
Yeah, I completely understand that. If I put Halo down for a week or so and I jump back into it, it takes me a few games to get back into the swing of things.
So between that and they're also practicing for Call of Duty. I don't know if that's
Traitors.
Betty Tracks. This happened back in the Halo 3 and Halo Reach days, where when a team was kind of sensing the end of, I guess, kind of the popularity of the latest Halo title as far as competitive sports goes, they hopped on over to Gears and COD.
I don't blame them. I mean, that's how they make their living. And if, you know, Halo's not going to be around to feed that need, then they'll move on to something else.
Well, they got to still make money somehow. And if that's their main source of trying to get the money, then they want to go where other tournaments are going to actually get them that money. I think we'll see them come back once Halo Infinite comes out. There's a lot of good vibes about it so far, just with what we've seen, and people are getting the sense that it's going to be a little bit more of a classic Halo emphasis just from what we've seen, even though we've seen very little at this point, but that seems to be the goings at this moment.
Yeah, honestly, it's got me scared. If they go the way a lot of people think they're going to go, I'm probably not going to enjoy the multiplayer as much as I do Halo 5.
I think there's a couple of things they can pull from the legacy titles. I'll call them that. Like the Bungie era titles. And some of the stuff that it is, or that they can take from some of the new stuff. But they just have to be super careful with what things they try to merge together.
Well, you know, going back to, you know, like we've been alternating back and forth between the Master Chief Collection and Halo 5. Whenever we do the Master Chief Collection, don't get me wrong, it's fun. But the games just, they just seem like they take forever to complete. I know the game time is the same, but it takes so long to do anything.
Well, the map design is different, the mechanics are different, and one thing that most of the Halo games have going for them are the maps are designed around the game mechanics. And yeah, some of the older games are a lot slower. And I think that's just kind of traditional of a lot of games in general, is that they were much slower than games are today. I mean, the movement speed has just been getting faster and faster and faster as games have grown and evolved over time.
Yeah, it's one of those deals that even a faster walk speed would help the legacy games.
Well, and MLG did that during Halo 3 and Halo Reach. They bumped up the base movement speed to help make it not as slow.
But for the normal people, it just always seems like they grind on and on. Especially when you start playing in big team and you're on a map like Blood Gulch. You know, it's just not everybody's going to get a vehicle.
Well, and I think Blood Gulch was definitely one of those LAN party environments where once you had a full LAN party, it became a lot more fun because there was a lot more people to play on.
Well, it's still the same amount of people. It's still 16 players. You know, there's still the same amount of people in there. It's just map movement on that particular map, if you're not in a vehicle, is excruciatingly slow. Now, the H2A map, or version of it, is a little bit better because you go off the gravity cannons and you can bounce. You know, if you hit that jump button just as you touch the ground, you can bounce and get a little bit more distance out of it, moving at the higher rate of speed. But even still, just, you know, trying to get to the rocket launcher before someone else just seems like it takes forever.
Gotta get to that teleporter.
Well, even with the teleporter, you know, it still takes forever to get to the middle of the map. You know, it's just the way the game was designed, but
the definitely right
movement of Halo 5, I enjoy. There are things about the Spartan abilities that I don't quite enjoy, like the Spartan Charge really irritates me. Ground Pound, it's kind of a neat niche thing. So I really don't have that much of a problem with it. It's, you know, me, I use it more for mobility than I do to actually get kills.
I could do without ground pound. The thruster pack is nice.
But, you know, the sprint, the thruster, you know, the ADS, either way, as long as I have a zoom, that's all I care about. I do think that zoom only belongs on the
rifles.
Well, on the precision weapons.
Okay, yeah. So not like the
SMG, not the AR, but like the DMR, the pistol, the battle rifle, sniper. Those it makes sense on.
I don't know if they would keep that or not. I don't have any good sense of to know if that's something that they would hold on to or if that would they'd be willing to let that go.
I mean, that if that left, then I wouldn't, you know, that's something I wouldn't miss. As long as I can keep the controls. Because I do like having the trigger pull being the zoom.
Well, and I think that's been in the game for a while.
It's been in the game for a while. The control, I think, was first introduced in Halo Reach. I don't remember it being in the...
It wasn't in Halo 3?
First three games. I don't think it was in Halo 3.
Okay.
I'd have to fire up the game to find out, but of course, you know, it's in Master Chief Collection, so...
Yeah,
so
it's the 360 version.
In all of them now. But the original 360 version, I don't think that was an option, or just the way the zoom mechanic works in those games, it's real herky-jerky. You know, it's not that smooth... You know, smooth zoom in like it is in Halo 5. But, you know, don't get me wrong, there's things in Halo 5 that I would not miss. But I like the movement, how things move in Halo 5. So I'm kind of holding my breath for it, Infinite.
Well, and there's the competitive team that's there at the studio that's going to be making sure the multiplayer experience for Infinite is going to be in line with what the competitive community at least wants. But there is a lot of other concerns, obviously, that people have.
Hope they do not do.
I think this to an extent.
I don't want competitive influencing the normal people playlists. Now, if they want to make a competitive playlist that uses competitive settings, that's fine. To give people a chance that want to compete a place to practice, that's fine. I have no problems with that. But I don't want to play with competitive settings.
Well, there will always be the social and the competitive. And there's... But I think I see what you're saying. You don't want every ranked playlist to be...
I don't want...
An HCS.
I don't want to have to play the way the pros do because that's the way the pros want to play.
Yeah, that's a good point because I don't know what the spread is like that because competitive is such a vocal piece of... That experience.
You know, that's one thing that kind of screwed up
ranked.
Just a regular ranked and social is a lot of the weapon tuning that they did was to appease the more upper scale player in Halo 5.
I think there's a certain piece that it seems like they've at least caught on with, because for Halo 5 they were very much competitively influenced in the arena stuff, because there wasn't Big Team, there wasn't Oddball, there was only Flag, Slayer, and Breakout, which
the whole game kind of flopped. Intended to be competitive, and that was one of the problems with it. Don't get me wrong, the gameplay's great, but the fact that they're letting this small minority, or, you know, this small group of people dictate their entire game is a problem.
Or at least significant portions of the experience that you're going to have most of your audience experience. No, you bring up a good point. I don't know if they have that foresight right now, but that's definitely something to keep giving feedback on.
Honestly, you know, all the abilities that are in the game right now, I hope they keep at least the option for them available. Now, for matchmaking, there are some of them they could turn off. But there have been some really good custom games that in that use Ground Pound.
Oh, sure.
It's a fun mechanic to mess with for custom games.
Definitely.
Does it really belong in matchmaking? I wouldn't.
Maybe
me
not.
Personally, I wouldn't miss it.
Right.
But things like Spartan Charge.
Take it out.
Just I know. I could live without that being in matchmaking. There's another game I wish they'd take that crap out of too, but you know, it's there's room for improvement. I will say that.
We'll have to see what the betas and alphas and all the insider builds have as well. I think that's they're going to get a lot of community feedback off of that. And I have a feeling they'll be smart about it and they'll make sure that they have a wide variety of people playing those builds. So if they get a good sample size of people saying, hey, this feels too sweaty or too competitive, they'll dial those experiences back. But you're right, there definitely needs to be a balance between those that are looking for the best for the competitive stuff, but make sure that is geared specifically towards that audience to have a couple places for those, but to not just overwhelm the entire ranked playlists, per se.
I really don't want HCS settings affecting SWAT games.
Right. Getting back on track here, we did have Reciprocity Takes Second, so they actually, in the winner's final, they beat Tox and bumped them down to the elimination bracket. So the elimination finals was Renegades and Tox. Tox took out Renegades in a 4-0 sweep, and then Tox ended up taking the championship trophy in the reverse sweep, which both of which series were 4-0s. Reciprocity shook the beehive a little bit. And then Tox answered right back, not dropping a single game in the grand finals. So Tox took home 120 grand. Team Reciprocity took home 60. Renegades took home 40. And Splice took home 28,000. Then your remaining four top in the top eight were the Anaheim Pirates, which I believe they were an open bracket team. I don't remember. I think they were an open bracket team, though. Accelerate Gaming, Mentality, and Elevate.
Well, it looks like two of them. Oh, I guess they tied for fifth and sixth.
They don't play those eliminations. It's just a single elimination. Those they just drop out for the sake of stream time. So they take even spots for fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and then I think for any tournament that has that they give prizes away up through 16. I think 9 through 12 is one section. I think 13 through 16 is one section as well. But yeah, those have traditionally been 5th and 6th have been paired together and 7th and 8th have been paired together for a little while now for HCS.
I guess I just never noticed it. Honestly.
So congratulations to the top 8 and congratulations to Tox. You are the undisputed Halo 5 champion. It has been really interesting to see this go down for the past several years. And another kind of funny thing to note is we basically saw the Winter X Games appearance again for this last matchup. So the one where Lethal left Evil Geniuses and went over to, which was then CLG. That was kind of that first rivalry. So most of the team members that were on Evil Geniuses for that matchup against CLG are now in this Team Reciprocity roster. So it's just kind of the classic rivalry. So we kind of started with that and we ended with that with Halo 5. So it's just really cool to see how that's turned up.
Amazing how things work out sometimes.
Yeah. It was just really cool. We have the Halo 3 3v3 showdown, which also took place during the DreamHack Atlanta tournament. And we had Optic Gaming, which was Roy and Flamesword, going up against GMS, which was Fantasy and Gabriel. And in the grand finals, GMS took the last series. It was actually Opta Gaming came up from the losers bracket and took the first game, first five games, and then GMS took the last series 3-0. It was interesting because I watched the VOD of that before the podcast tonight because I hadn't watched that. I was watching Championship Sunday for quite a while, but I didn't watch the Hilly Free Showdown because it was while I was at church. So looking at that, it was interesting to see how much the commentators, which was T-Squared and Elamite, talking about optics so much, and they were just focused on optic because Roy and Flamesword are well-known people that have a history with competitive Halo. And Fantasy and Gabriel are kind of some of the newcomers, but they've been playing Halo 3 for obviously a long time on MCC. So it was interesting to just kind of see them really, really favoring the more veteran players. But it was nice to see that there was some other talent in there that maybe we could see down the road in future HCS events for Infinite when that comes around. Pins, I don't know what the viewer count was. They usually don't specify what the final viewer numbers are. It's probably somewhere on Twitter, but I think it was definitely smaller than it was for the Halo 5 finals. At least that's kind of what I've heard. Also, in the HCS finals recap, they do mention the HCS grassroots, but there's a separate article for that, so we will cover some of the details in there. But there are some official partnered events coming up with the HCS grassroots program. First one is going to be coming up in January. Is the Halo Classic by UGC Events. That'll be taking place January 11th through the 13th in St. Louis, Missouri, and the game will be Halo 3 on MCC with a $30,000 Halo 3 prize pool for the 4v4, and then there will be a $5,000 MCC side tournament. And then Gamers for Giving will be in Ann Arbor, Michigan, March 23rd through the 24th, and that will also be Halo 3 on MCC. It will be a 2v2. So those are the first two tournaments that the HCS Grassroots program is partnering with to provide prize pools, stations, sponsorship, promotions, all that kind of stuff. Competitive Halo is still going to be going on. It's just not going to be officially in the form of HCS per se. We'll see what those bring down the road. So that's it for the HCS finals recap. If you want a little more deeper of a dive into things, then I definitely recommend going out and checking the guys over at HCS Pro Talk. They go game by game, series by series, doing a whole breakdown of results and stats and everything. So if you want the nitty gritty of everything that you missed during the weekend, then I definitely recommend you check them out. They make a really good show over there, and they're really well spoken. And they have a little bit of a dirty mouth. So if you have kids that are listening, whenever you're listening to podcasts, then definitely be wary of that. But other than that, they're doing a great job over there, and they're almost about to get to 50. I think the last one they just released was 47. So there are three more podcasts until they hit 50.
Cool.
So the grassroots, HCS grassroots. This was announced on Sunday during the live stream, and I think it actually got leaked a little bit earlier than it was supposed to be. But this is the new kind of support that 343 is going to be giving to tournament organizers and content creators. This is to help generate some support for the community while they're taking the back seat on doing official tournament stuff. So the grassroots movement is for anyone who's looking for 343 support, and they're trying to build a network of content creators and tournament organizers to kind of help lay that foundation for when Infinite comes around and is up and prominent in the esports realm, which hopefully it will be. I think there's been some indications that they're making moves in the right direction, and we'll just have to see how that goes. So for tournament organizers, they want to help run local tournaments both in North America and around the world, ranging from LAN events to online tournaments, seasons, and leagues, and encourage participation from anyone who wants to participate, communities big and small. And then for content creators, they want to help build a network of partners to achieve to help the actual streamers achieve their viewership goals and provides kind of some spotlight and some promotion for those communities or streamers. For tournament organizers, there are things that you can potentially receive support for, such as prize pool contributions, loaner consoles, giveaways and prizes, promotion on social media, content, graphics, sponsor acquisition support, and sanctioning. And then on the content creation side, you can get potentially promotional on social media, or promotions on social media, giveaways and digital prizes, hosting on broadcast channels, content and graphics. And this is just kind of an initial set of what they're thinking they can help community content creators and tournament organizers with. That will probably grow over time depending on some of the situations around different tournaments and different content creators as the program matures and grows. So if you're interested in learning more about that or looking to sign up for the grassroots program, you can head on over to halo.gg/grassroots. And we are going to actually apply for that after I have some time to talk with GT about it. Some initial partners, we just talked about some of the tournaments that are coming up, but for the content creators, they have partnered with Vetoed, Action Man, Ubernick, and Nated, some of which should be familiar names to most people listening to the show. We've talked about Vetoed before, Nated being a very famous Halo esports persona. Ubernick is definitely one of the more prominent streamers, and then Action Man is a big YouTuber. Or has been a big YouTuber. And he's been fastly growing too, apparently. As some perks to the HDS Grassroots program, there are going to be battle rifle skins and Halo for the Halo 5 Guardians, and then a nameplate in MCC that some of the partners can give out during certain events for as giveaways and other things. And then anyone that's in the Grassroots program will also receive those as 5x5 codes. So like your typical Xbox redeem codes.
Cool.
Yeah. Anything that is of tournament related or content related, that's what they're kind of looking to partner with. Obviously, you need to have some kind of track record. You need to be established in whatever area that you're doing. So for tournament organizers, have a history of successfully hosting tournaments and having participation, that kind of stuff. Then for content creation, obviously having a set schedule and history and consistency there. So that's just a couple of the things. Some of the criteria that they've listed, and it's not the full set of criteria, but it's just a small subset. For tournament organizers, an established track record of tournament operation and content creation. And for community outreach, or for community content creators, established track record of community outreach, engagement, and support. And then consistent positive influence and contributions to the Halo community, and established track record of investment in the community. Pretty standard stuff. Just make sure you're giving back to the community and that you're being a very positive influence and actually benefiting the community than just looking to suck in support just for your own benefit. It's got to be a two-way street. So yeah, that's Grassroots. Anything to add, GT?
No.
I know I kind of went on a little, not rant, little
tangent.
But yeah. So if you want to learn more about the program and sign up, halo.gg/grassroots. The MCC November update. We finally have the match composer, controller customization options, and for Halo CE and Halo 2, the timer options and player name toggle color. So everything that you've heard about us talking for the MCC Insider is now in MCC proper. The match composer, I did check this because I was curious about this. The match composer has completely taken over the social playlist so that you don't have the set playlists and social anymore. It's all Match Composer. And then the competitive playlists are actually the traditional matchmaking playlists that you go into.
That's cool.
I have to see how that one turns out. I am curious, because when, I don't know if you had a chance to play the Insider during the couple of play sessions that they had, but using the Match Composer with as few people as there was on the Insider, it was a pain.
Yeah, I can understand that. Now that it's actually out in the game, it probably would be a much better experience.
That's what I'm thinking, and I want to get a chance to go in and actually do it. So, I don't know if... Are we doing Halo 5 or MCC tonight? I think we're doing Halo 5, right?
Yeah, Halo 5 tonight.
Yeah, so maybe one of these upcoming weekends we can pop on over to MCC and see how the Match Composer works if we aren't too big for the party. See if it actually works as it's supposed to. So we got those new features in for MCC. For the infection event that was going on for Halloween, over 500,000 players got on MCC to play Infection. So much so that for those who have launched up MCC recently, you notice that it's very flood-like. It's MCC been has been infected. So we have a new mission to clean up the infection. So 343 needs us to play the flooded playlist from now until November 30th. So if you go into the playlist section on MCC, which is under custom games, so it's campaign, matchmaking, custom games, and then playlists, I think, something like that. In the cross games playlist, there's a playlist called Flooded, and it's all flood missions. And it seems kind of like a little meta game going on within MCC, which is kind of cool. But that's the next kind of goal to accomplish, is to play that flooded playlist. And depending on how many people go and play the playlist, might change how MCC looks just aesthetically. So we'll have to see how deep this rabbit hole goes. It's an interesting little metagame that they have going on here. It'd be cool if it led to any kind of additional content, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think that part's going to happen, but you never know.
You never know. We'll have to see. There have been some playlist updates as well. Obviously, the Match Composer taking over social playlist has garnered that a couple of additional settings be added to the Match Composer. So, based on community feedback and demand, SWAT, Snipers, Infection, and Griffball will also be quote-unquote game-type settings that you can select in the Match Composer. So it would normally be things like CTF, Oddball, King of the Hill, Slayer, like the actual game modes themselves. But with them completely taking over the social playlist for the, with the Match Composer, and with the popularity and demand for those specific game modes, those are some additional game types that they're going to set aside and have available in the Match Composer for you to select. So in addition to kind of the normal stuff like Slayer, CTF, and some of the other objective ones, there's also SWAT, Snipers, Infection, and Griffball in Match Composer. Also, Halo 3 Lone Wolves is moving out of social and it will be in ranked now. And there are some other social changes that have been made in the Halo 3 social space. They've added a sandbox variant, Tundra and Vessel, to the 2v2 duos setting. For 4v4s, they added Orbital, High Ground, Epilogue, Valhalla, Last Resort, Cold Storage, Pantheon, and Tundra, and Wastelands. For the 8v8 in Halo 3 Social, they've added sandbox variants Utah, Mammo, Vindictive, Wasteland, and Workplace Bravo. And then in 8v8 Action Sack, they've added Big Team Battle Heavy variants on Avalanche, Sand Trap, Standoff, and Valhalla. For 1v1 settings within Social, they have changed everything across all games to 15 kills, 10 minutes, no radar, and weapon starts are AR and the pistol for Halo CE, BR SMG for Halo 2 Classic and Anniversary, and BRAR for Halo 3, Halo 4. I mean, that seems pretty standard. Dropping it down to 15 kills, though, is a lot better than having it at 25. Not nearly as drawn out. That's good. So everyone who wants to 1v1 me, bro, now has a playlist to go do it in. For competitive ranked playlists, we have Halo CE Team Doubles, Halo 2 Classic Team Arena, Halo 2 Anniversary Team Arena, Halo 3 Team Arena, which they've made a couple of changes. They've added Orbital, High Ground, Epilogue, Cold Storage, Pantheon, Tundra, and Wastelands. They've removed Last Resort. And Halo 3 Team Hardcore Team Doubles. And then Halo 3 Lone Wolves, which they've made a couple changes there since moving it over. They've updated Epitaph, Snowbound, and The Pit to use only their Year 2 variants. That's where they changed some of the shield doors and other little pieces of the map.
Well, that's where you got Boundless and Pit Stop.
Right. Yeah.
And Epilogue, the Boundless, players,
Pit Stop.
Yeah. And they reduced the amount of players from 8 to 6.
It's not as hectic. And Lone Wolves has traditionally been 6. Or at least it feels like it's been 6.
The only thing I care about is I don't have to get a double kill with a Spartan Laser.
I still need that achievement. Dang, Confal with 200 bits tonight. Hey, Confal.
Bits, and more bits.
Thanks for the bits. And now we're on to the scoop.
The scoop of what?
For this MCC update. Got the scoop by Sean Scoops Cooper. And this one, instead of Halo 1 and Halo 2, which we've seen a lot of stuff in the scoop part in the past, this is a little bug in Halo 3, which actually was in the original Halo game as well. So on the mission Savo Highway, after you exit the flaming elevator part, there's a Marine who is supposed to be holding a little medical scanner device, similar to the one that you see at the very beginning of the game, where you're getting scanned as Master Chief when you're all stiff. But he's actually not holding anything. And it turns out that the asset for that medical device was never actually compiled into the map.
And that's something that I had never noticed.
Me neither. Well, it's one of those things for me. It's like, okay, when it loads up, I am dashing for the Warthog. I never stop to notice if there's anything else going on. So it is a bug, but it was in the original too. So it's been a long, long bug. And to kind of forego some of the technical jargon, there's the way that they referenced the actual asset. It wasn't explicitly declared that it needed to be compiled in with the map. So the development environment, you have all these references, and then with how a lot of the Bungie titles worked is they compiled all the assets that you needed into the map itself. Whereas Halo 5, they actually kind of undid that, and you could dynamically link things into maps. So instead of statically linked libraries per se in actual like Windows code, it's dynamically linked for Halo 5. And that's why they can add a Forge object in Halo 5 now, and you can add it to every map that you can make. Whereas for Halo 3 and Halo Reach, that Forge object had to be available within that map itself. So it turns out there was a weak relationship. In other words, it wasn't required to be compiled into the map. And because of that, it never was. So, yeah.
Let's see. It only took them 14 years to find that one.
Yeah. It's interesting. So, nothing as far as...
how long it took me to beat Halo 2, Halo 2's first mission, right? Isn't it?
Jeez. Pins was having a heyday with that when he was doing his run-through of that.
Yeah, it's a whole different level when you crank that up to Legendary.
Yes, it is. Thanks, Pins, for 38 months of us being a sub on Twitch. 38 months. That's some dedication right there.
Yeah, it is.
So we have, a really interesting bug. They didn't mention if they were going to fix it or not. It something that obviously was in the original Halo 3 game, and it's just kind of this made its way over to Xbox One because,
well, if it was never there to begin with, then
yeah. So the actual link to the assets is just a null tag, so it's just nothing. They're looking at seeing if they could potentially add it in there, but there's some other things that they have to account for as far as
resource allocation.
Exactly. So yeah, interesting stuff there. November update bug fixes. Across the board, we have improved player idle warnings.
Oh, thank you.
I know we've run into that issue quite a bit during
NCC. Everybody wiggle your game stick.
Yep.
Move your controller.
It needs to be one of those things where, and maybe this is one of the things that they did, is it prompts you when it says, hey, you're idle.
That would be nice.
Like, some, hey, now you're idle.
Yeah. Something that up on the screen that says, hey, stupid, move your sticks.
So this was an issue during the MCC Insider flights, too, because you would wait for a game for 20 minutes sometimes. And then when you finally matched, it booted you out because you were idle. Even though I was sitting right here. Like, okay, I'm doing stuff on my computer. I'm waiting for the game to start or for it to load up.
Now, that's something they need to change. It won't. They need to change it to where you can't start matchmaking if you're idle. But if you're idle while searching, it that turns off.
Well, and I think it's just because of the nature of the Insider build that it's kind of a outlier of a situation where that's not normally expected.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's probably in effect in MCC as well. It's just not noticed as much because you find games a lot faster.
Right, exactly. Local files are now called private files. We'll be sharing the reasons for this change in the future post.
Ooh.
Maybe the file browser is coming pretty soon.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Made several improvements during scenarios where players have been involuntarily disconnected from their internet connection or Xbox Live.
Okay.
That's pretty bad. Multiple crash fixes across the board, resolve some incorrect data and leaderboard discrepancies. Want to take the next few?
As soon as I get into the page.
Okay. I'll take the next few until you get there. And Halo CE, renaming custom map variants now conveys the correct 23 character limit. And player names now fade away at a rate closer to Xbox CE version instead of the PC version.
That's good.
I think it was a little bit slower in Xbox than it is on Xbox CE than it was on PC, maybe. Maybe a little faster, I don't know. I think it was a little bit slower on the Xbox version. I'm not entirely sure, though.
All right, let's see. Where did you leave off?
Halo 2.
Okay. Looks like for Halo 2, fixed co-op disconnection issues during various scenarios. I think you already said that. Halo 3, fixed an incorrect connection lost error message when split stream co-op resumes from an Xbox suspended state. Okay. Fixed various issues with viewing terminals in certain supported languages. So, like, you know, if you're English, it was coming up Korean or what?
No, probably in some of the languages that they've added language packs for, the terminal text probably wasn't translated correctly or
probably
actually
not
applied to the terminals. So probably just fixing some of those.
In Halo 4, updated text and icons for 4K across both campaign and PvP, okay, multiplayer.
So people have been making a little bit of a fuss of this on the Twitterverse because now we actually have some more 4K assets for Halo 4 now.
Well, so that's, you know, it's always a problem when you do that. You know, you have to scale the text correctly in the icons or they just shrink into oblivion.
It was, for me, very apparent on Halo 3 when the game first came out, because how the text has kind of curved a little bit, you could see where the blocky edges of the text were. It wasn't kind of like the smooth text that you normally get when you actually blow it up and actually scale the vectors correctly.
I'm still on a 1080p monitor, so I haven't had that problem yet. So,
I mean, even on 1080p, it was like that.
It wasn't that noticeable to me, but of course, I probably just was more paying attention to what was shooting me than what was actually printed on the screen.
Fair enough.
For ODST, clients are now prompted to download when host chooses ODST during session. They said makes that sense. Was coming. Ooh, they fixes to Sadie's story achievement when collecting audio logs across multiple playthroughs, Mombasa Streets. H2A fixed an issue where shooting glass cans on H2A map would not count towards achievement.
That's a pretty crucial one, especially if it's tied to an achievement.
Let's see, scroll up.
Which, I've thought about this and I forgot to kind of bring it up before, but there's an achievement in MCC that are Ricochet related in Halo 2 Anniversary. I don't know if there's a playlist that you can actually do that in anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. We may have to send a tweet to... I wonder Customs. If you can do that in custom games.
I don't think it's... I think it's in matchmaking. I'll look it up while you're reading the stuff, but I think it's in matchmaking that you have to get it.
Well, if there's not any matchmaking, then it's kind of hard to get that. General campaign fixes. Fixed various small art decorations appearing as flat black objects in Halo 3 and ODST. Fixed issue where co-op players were disconnected after choosing restart mission. Score and time results now correctly upload to leaderboards if players are disconnected from the internet during runs. Okay, that's nice. Rival score improvements on campaign playlists. That's good. Maybe now they'll actually start updating. Let's see. Improved co-op PGCR support for playlists now includes cumulative scores, rivals, and top five friends.
Very nice.
Cool. Now that's actually do something other than just take up space on the screen.
Right, because ever since they made this big update, the top five friends has never worked. So I guess they finally fixed it. And the achievement description says, in Ricochet, pass one, score once, and kill at least one enemy in the same match. So I guess that is, you can do that in customs.
Sounds like you can do it in customs, yeah.
I guess. Looking at one more just to make sure.
Find out.
Oh, hang on. Nope. In Halo 2 Anniversary multiplayer. Okay. So yeah, looks like it can be done in customs. So I take that back.
Okay, general matchmaking fixes. Party team matching rules are now more consistently applied when backfilling. Fixed issue with ranked threshold not being respected for matchmaking in various backfilling scenarios. Team doubles matching now backfills appropriately after squad leader quits. Made refinements to conditions where players are warned for idling in matchmaking. Didn't they say that earlier?
They kind of did. Well, they said improved player idle warning, so I guess the actual text, and then this one's saying the conditions in which you are warned that you're idling. So I'm guessing that means, hey, it'll actually proactively tell you, hey, you're idling now.
I'm warning you! General custom games improvements. Looks like improved messaging for notifying new game session leader when squad leader exits during countdown timer. Roster now better sorts accounts signed into the host session leader's console.
It's just they're changing the way that if you have multiple accounts signed into one console on the actual roster, they changed how the sort actually works.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, yeah, that makes sense. I forget you can do split screen on MCC. Fixed various H2A environment decorators appearing as flatback objects in 4K. I guess I had the same problem in Halo 3.
Sounds like
the last two four-gen films corrected H2A map variant names now appearing in film summary. Well, that's handy. Players now receive a warning message when trying to save forged map variant with blank description fields.
Okay. So a couple of pretty significant ones and a lot of just ones that need to be cleaned up and taken care of. So that's always nice.
Well, it's good to see these come up because it shows that they're still serious about working on the game.
Yeah.
And fixing bugs. And they've gotten the game to the
fixing MCC.
And they've got the game corrected enough where they can work on this smaller stuff. And, they're not pulling their hair out because MCC's broke.
A lot of the stuff was just architecture related with the original Xbox development code that they could actually pull from. And since Xbox One's gone through so many changes, they're actually able to take advantage of some of these newer code bases and APIs and integrations with the console. So it's going to be a lot better now. Looking ahead, there's not going to be really another large update for MCC this coming month, so we won't get our next big one until the new year. So things like the custom games browser and some of the other stuff that they're looking at, we won't see for a little while. But there will be some just routine maintenance type of stuff, so bug fixes, probably some playlist updates for the coming holidays, that kind of stuff. So small stuff, no major introductions of new features and that kind of stuff, but just general welfare type of things for MCC. On to Unishek's article. We haven't seen him post in a little while, but Communities Doubles Refresh. So the latest community playlist, which happens to be the featured playlist for this week, is Community Doubles. And this is a grouping of community curated maps done by Unishek and Blaze, who's one of the sustained designers on the 343 team. And they worked with the Forge community to identify and adapt some community made maps for team doubles. So the core play playlist is now out. Action Sack is still there for its second week, and Community Doubles is now the featured playlist in social. And it includes a slew of new maps. It's 11 new maps for team doubles, and then two maps that we've seen before in the Community Slayer playlist, which have been updated and adapted to team doubles. And not showing them on the stream tonight, but you can go check them out on the actual article itself. They are Chasm by Sergeant Slaphead and Carby. Cyberside by Ascendant Hyperion and Whose Blaze, which I'm thinking is the same Blaze that's here in the article. Flux by Commander Coulson. Hazard by Setheroth. High Guard by Given to Fly 93. Monarch by Minister Muffin. Nemesis by Warholic. These Walls by The Zamples Certified Champ and Yeti for Hire. Veil by Canadian Echo and Weed Cough. And then the two maps that are making their reintroduction from Community Slayer is Data Center by Irk X15 and Analog by The Omicron and Whose Blaze. So some of the names in there should be familiar to people, like Ascendant Hyperion, Warholic, The Omicron, and some other new maps getting some attention, which is pretty cool. I did play some team doubles a little bit earlier today and got my butt kicked. Actually, we didn't do too badly. Matched up with random. Team doubles is one of those you really need to go in with a partner to get the best out of it.
Yeah.
So the one map,
I never seemed to go in there.
The one map I played on was Veil by Canadian Echo and Weed Cough. And the verticality in that one's a little weird to get used to, because there's a teleporter, there's a grav lift, and a couple other things that make the map movement on that map a little a little weird, but it's small enough where it, from just the one game I played, it seems to work well for the team doubles environment. So if the rest of the maps are similar in regards to flow of the map and size, I think a lot of these maps are going to be pretty well utilized for team doubles. There was no community stream this week and no playlist changes in MCC, so nothing to report there. As far as other news articles from other sources, nothing new this time around. No new tweets to talk about. As far as community updates, no new updates from Installation 01. No new updates from Sins of the Prophets. We do have the Halo Downfall weekly update over on Reddit. So for those in the chat, I'll go ahead and post this in the chat so you guys can follow right along. But it was a pretty short update this week, especially since this was Thanksgiving for us here in the States. There was a little bit of an ODST showcase that they had. So some models that they've started working with for their ODST stuff. And then they're also looking for people to help out with the game. So they're looking for anyone with experience in design, modeling, art, etc. And they're really in need of a new modeler. So if you have some modeling experience, I don't know if they're using 3ds Max or Blender or whatever, but there's lots of kind of plugins for that kind of stuff as it kind of stands today with all those game development kits. So any kind of modeler out there, that's what they're looking for. The ODST screens that they provide look pretty good. And looking through some of their other stuff from when we talked about them last week, they got some pretty talented people over there with some of their prototypes and coloring. And it definitely reveals or resembles a little bit more of a Halo CE age of texture and how they're a little more blocky. But that's fine, especially if you're kind of starting out in the scene. You got to start somewhere. But just for starting out, it looks pretty good. So you can head on over to their Reddit post. They have a separate subreddit, r/ Halo Downfall. And they also have their game development page on Game Jolt as well. And we are actually looking to get them on the show probably within the next couple of weeks. Probably won't be next week, but maybe the week after or the week following. We'll get them on the show to talk about what their goals are for their game and what they're looking to do for in the future. For Loot Crate, celebrating Black Friday through Cyber Monday, Loot Crate's offering a 50% off all subscriptions through 6 months. So if you have ever been interested in possibly getting the Halo Crate but haven't stepped on to get them for whatever reason, or if you're up to renew, then now is the time to do it. So you can get, as far as the Halo Loot Crate is concerned, you can get either 1, 2, or 3 crates. That's up to 6 months. So since the bi-monthly crate, the 6 month would be 3 crates. And the code that they're offering also works for any Loot Crate subscription up to 6 months. And the code is CyberSavings2018. So if you're interested in the Halo Crate, then you can go on over to podtackler.com/lootcrate. And then use the code CyberSavings2018 to get 50% off your subscription. It works for any renewals or new subscriptions as well. I think if you're in the middle of an active one, though, and you're not up for renewal, I don't think you can renew like projecting out ahead of that time. I don't think it works like that. So it has to be in the renewal window, like when you have to pay to update it, I think, or for any new subscription that you need. And the next one is George. That's going to be the next Halo Loot Crate theme, as we talked about last week on the show.
Big gun, good.
Big spinny gun. Support is the theme name, and you can order that. If you don't get it in for this sale, you do have until December 15th to order the crate for this theme. And that'll wrap it up for the podcast tonight. Anything else to add before we head into the end of the show?
No, I do not have anything to add.
Well, since we are recording on Friday this week, make sure you stick around for a abbreviated Fraggin' Friday. We are going to be hopping on to Halo 5 Guardians. For those that are listening to us via download, you can check us out normally at 8:30 p.m. on Friday, where Fraggin' Fridays is hosted by Godzilla T himself. We also have our podcast normally recording on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. There's also a Sunday stream that I host where I'm going for achievements right now. So currently trying to get all my MCC achievements wrapped up, at least all the ones I can easily do on stream. And on Tuesdays, I'm streaming with the wife, going over the Halo campaign, getting her caught up in some of the Halo lore there. So next week we'll be doing round two of learning game mechanics and strategies for Halo 2. And then probably the week after that, we'll finally jump into the Halo 2 campaign with her. You can also check us out on our social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, posting our updates there. And you can also check us out on YouTube, Twitch, and Mixer. We stream to all of those platforms for our live streams, in addition to Facebook and Twitter when we can. And then you can also check us out on our Spartan Company and Xbox Club. Basically, if we have it, just search for Podtacular wherever it is, and you will find it. A little update on the company. We've got a couple of accommodations that we are still trying to hunt down, and we'll be hunting some of them down for a little while. The two in the back are the same two that are always in the back, Soldier Bashes and Killing Marines. For the three that we have, well, really the four that we have close, killing a player with precision weapons without missing, 39. Can we get this one by next week?
Maybe.
I think we can do it. I think we can get this one by next week. Sting like a bee, kill an enemy Spartan with a melee. We need 147 of those. Might be able to get that one by next week as well. Almost doesn't count. Kill an enemy Spartan when your health is low and survive. We need another 354 on that one. Don't know if we'll get that one by next week, but that one will probably be by the end of the year. And then not so fast. Kill an enemy attempting to hijack or skyjack a vehicle. Again, don't know if we'll get that one by the end of the week, but we only need 20. It's just the situations for those are pretty rare. So maybe by the end of the year for that one. That's kind of the feeling I'm getting on that at least.
Well, we can shoot for it. That's for sure.
See what you did there. So that'll wrap it up for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check out the podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows over at THEPODKAST. Other podcasts include Guardian Radio, Critzcast, Podcast 76, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. Also, make sure you check out the Halo Hub over at thehalohub.com. Resource for sharing community content, and if you have a content that you also create, also a place to share it over there as well. We'll be back next week on our regular schedule, with the podcast being on Thursdays for the live stream. And until then, keep on fragging them turkeys.
Gobble, gobble.